Today we're going to talk about the pastoral care listening edge, how to really begin to be a listener. Before we start this, I sort of want to just give you what I believe the vision of pastoral care. The vision of pastoral care is to really help someone take that next step in what God is wanting to do or heal or change in someone's life. And I kind of get into that by thinking of the adventure of all of that. Pastoral care is an adventure with those in your care. In the sense you're get to walk beside them, with them, in a journey. This area of pastoral care work is multifaceted. It's full of surprises, unexpected problems, opportunities for profound insight into the human situation. Now, I didn't make that up. That's what the Introduction to Pastoral Care by Charles Gerken says. Pastoral care is one of the fun, enjoyable, challenging, frustrating, all of those things all together, and there is not a boring moment in being a pastor when you have those pastoral care journeys, narratives, and stories in your life. And God uses you to bring His grace, His mercy, His challenge, His change to those in your care. Now, if we're going to really be good at pastoral care and have those best practices, it really does start with listening. And if you think about a theology of listening, it really comes down to this. You are ministering to the image bearers of God, or another way to put it, your image in your church, those saints in Christ. James 1, verse 19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So what we're going to talk about today are just some of the techniques or some of the skills, the best practices of having a listening edge in pastoral care. Now, when you start a session or sessions with people, here are some principles to keep in mind, to write down, to practice, to think about. First of all, when you listen, listening makes those in our care feel special. People feel respected, valued, interesting, loved. Our conversations go deeper. Our relationships build more trust. By listening, we model that very skill for them as they deal with the relationships in their lives. So when you listen to someone, you say, you are important enough to me for me to listen to you. You know, I've had some neat little experiences with that, where just by having the attitude of listening, somebody will break down in tears right in my office, and I'll, are you okay? Pastor, I'm just so thankful that you're listening. Somebody's finally listening to me. As we look at more pastoral care listening techniques, here's just some things to keep in mind. Look comfortable and comfortably toward those who you are listening to. So in other words, if you're like stressed out or you know, you're sitting back, no, sit up straight. Lean slightly forward to demonstrate your interest. Your body language. You know, you don't want to be doing this. Okay. Yeah, you want to have that certain, who are you? And you know, and if someone is upset, you know, having those mirroring sort of looks, you know, of concern. But being fully at the table with those you're listening to. You know, again, some of this stuff, you know, seems that we'd assume to do it, but I just want to remind you of these techniques. Show you understand. Oh, I see. Nod. Ask questions that keep the revelation coming. Like if somebody may, you know, start a conversation and, you know, and they say, well, in this situation with my child, I'm just really concerned. my child is now all of a sudden not talking very much. Oh, okay. When you ask a question, do they respond? No, not really. Oh, okay. Have you seen evidence in your house that something's happening? And then they talk and say, well, I've noticed that my son is listening to music for long periods of time. Oh, okay. What kind of music? See, and you start getting questions and raise eyebrows, ask more questions. Well, what happened when you asked him this question? Or did you ask him what kind of music he's listening to? I did, and he said he's listening to this kind of music. Oh, okay. Well, how did you feel about that? I was very saddened because my parents told me. You see, and what happens is that you'll get engaged in the narrative. Because what people will do is they'll sort of like sometimes give you an answer, and if you're not with them, they'll sort of stop, and then they'll sort of think like you'll know what to say or you'll know how to fix the situation when you still haven't heard the whole story. And remember, don't cross your arms. Focus on the speaker. You know, when they're talking, just stay with them. And here's what happens, is what we can do is our minds are capable of thinking about the Green Bay Packers, how they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl while someone is talking about a very troublesome situation. Now, again, that doesn't happen all the time, but we are capable of thinking ahead, thinking of other thoughts. Or here's another thing that's very common. If somebody's talking, and we already have the fix in mind before we even heard what the full story was. Now, Proverbs 18, verse 13, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. You know, I have to admit, as a pastor, you know, I've done that, and I'm kind of an extrovert, so we extroverts out there have to really be careful. But I've done that, where I'm like, you know, thinking I've heard what I've heard. And over the years, I have, by God's grace, trained myself to fully be with the person I am talking to and listen and keep other thoughts out of my mind. And you know what I've noticed over the years? Is my ability to care, my ability to encourage has gone up when I have kept thoughts out of my mind, whether it's thinking ahead or thinking about something else. Here's another pastoral care listening technique that's very important. Don't get on the listener stage, let them shine. Don't tell the speaker, "Hello, same thing happened to me last week, last year, last church," unless they specifically ask. Let them talk. You know, and that happens so often because, you know, we'll listen to somebody and then our immediate thinking is to apply it to something that's happened in our life. So what we do is that we will like say, "Yeah, I know what happened. This happened to me once." But what we are not doing is we're not letting their story be their story. We're cutting them off. We're saying that your stage is not truly the stage, and that our experience, it's like when I was a child, we had to walk 10 miles to school. When someone were to say, "Well, you know, I just really struggle with, you know, walking a mile to school," then right away we talk about how, you know, you think that's bad. You think your pain that you're dealing with your marriage is bad. Why, just the other week, this happened in our marriage, but we're so perfect, we're so good, we solved the whole problem, and we think you should solve it too. See, what you're doing is you're really not letting them shine as the speaker. You all of a sudden throw them off the stage and put yourself on the stage. More listening care techniques. Stay quiet even if they are attacking you. You know, that happens sometimes where a pastor wants to talk to you. The speaker needs to be heard. Don't defend yourself. They will feel respected and heard. And you will really hear their whole arguments. You know, when somebody is like have a problem with you, and pastors occasionally people are going to have problems with us because, you know, the pastor gets to be transferred, you know, various things because we're an authority figure, and if they've had an authority figure problem in their past, a lot of times they will, you know, be angry at you about something. Okay, fine. Let them talk and let them say the whole thing. And if there is something you can change or you can improve, listen to it. But understand that a lot of times someone just needs to talk. And in the process of talking and hearing the whole discussion, you'll find that you'll be able to, if there's something you did do wrong, ask for forgiveness. If there's something that is totally not appropriate, it's an accusation that doesn't make any sense, you'll actually get to hear the whole inappropriate argument and then address it with compassion and kindness, but not just sort of like defend yourself. And you know, there's that old Shakespeare thing, I think thou dost protest too much thinking. If somebody has something to say and they're even attacking you, and the first thing you do is constantly defend yourself, it's almost like you communicate that there's probably a lot of truth in that because it sure did hit a chord. I think thou dost protest too much. So the reality is stay quiet even when if someone's attacking you, and listen even then. More pastoral care listening techniques. Get into the conversation. Become the respectful detective. Again, it's back to asking questions. But wait until the speaker has completed talking. Again, don't interrupt them like we mentioned before. Ask questions like we mentioned before. But here's something. Restate their points to make sure you didn't misunderstand them. And as being that respectful detective, you really want to know what is being said. What you are saying is that. What you are saying is that. It's just not preventing your thoughts from thinking ahead or thinking of something else. It's about thinking about what's being said and sort of having that sort of snooping around to understand it to the depth. So you're that respectful detective. You're on a quest. When you're listening to someone, you're on a quest. It is a enjoyable quest to be on. You're asking, what you are saying is that. And then what happens is people respond, no, I'm not saying quite that. I'm saying that and this. Oh, that and this. Are you meaning this by that? You see, and what happens is you have the ability to really help someone understand what they're dealing with. You know, we've had a good session here today on some more techniques. And in our next session, we're going to even talk about that mastery of listening even more. And I have actually two case studies today that I thought would be interesting in pastoral care that come to me on a regular basis. The first case study is someone says, Pastor, I just am struggling with doubt. Okay? And or you're evangelizing someone and that issue comes up. Now, I put it in the pastoral care and not into the evangelism talk here, because a lot of times that struggling with doubt is a pastoral care issue more than it is just a faith and doubt issue. So one of the things that I understand when someone says, I'm struggling with doubt, I don't necessarily think it's just an evangelistic issue. I am very much concerned about who they are. You know, Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So the reality is faith sort of is a little bit of a nebulous issue, and that's the true honesty for everybody. And you can say to everybody, you know, I wasn't there at creation, but I believe. But why? You know, it's a common struggle. And put yourself as a pastor in their common struggle. What pastors can sometimes make the mistake of is to be the answer man. So you're struggling with doubt. Oh, you bad person. You know, don't you know the Bible says this and that? And what did your parents say? Instead of just being human with them, pastoral, you know, I understand that we all struggle with doubt, George. Our faith is based not in the certainty. It's faith based certainty, not certainty based faith. It's as if, and you can share that with people, that you are in a relationship with God by faith. You did not see tangibly Jesus right there like Thomas did. Jesus said, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. So, and there's something awesome about faith. And one of the things I share with people when they come to me is, especially if their pastoral struggle is faith and so forth. And I go, I'm kind of glad there's not certainty as like the foundation of Christianity. And they'll say like, well, why, Pastor? Well, it's because what if I had, 15 seconds of heaven certainty? What would that do for me? Now, some people may say, well, then your faith would not be challenged at all. Oh, but I'd have other challenges. I'll give you a few. Number one is maybe I would be too robotic in my walk with God from then on. You know, it's like if you actually saw 15 seconds of heaven, now my will, my ownership, my participation, you know, one thing that doubt does is it really keeps me all in. And I don't go complacent. Okay, I got to serve God because I know it's all real. And because I know for certainty it's all real. Whether I want to serve Him or not, I'm going to have to because heaven is real and hell is real. See, help someone realize that God set it up that it is by faith. So that when we come to Him, we come to Him with our whole will, our being. And when the Holy Spirit comes to us and nudges us along and all of that stuff, our wills are not crushed, yet our faith is developed. God gives us just enough. Creation, we're without excuse, is enough. But then there's the Word of God, and that's enough. But get on the common place with a parishioner who's struggling with doubt. Now, there are some excellent books. If their issue really is apologetics, it's just an intellectual struggle, fine. And you can get some great books out there that you can give to someone to struggle with, like the arguments for the existence of God and all those things. But I'm talking about the pastoral care side. The pastoral care side is let someone know, no matter how strong your faith is, that you have a common struggle with them. See, this is not the evangelism course. This is not the apologetics course. This is just when someone comes to you, don't blow them away with the 10 existence for God unless they want to hear about it. Instead, go back to the earlier thing. Listen. Now, what you'll find is that a lot of times they're not struggling with faith. They're struggling with their childhood church upbringing. They're not struggling really with faith. They're struggling with an abusive father who used the God card to discipline them. They're not struggling with faith. They're struggling with a pastor who, did something inappropriate, so now they have an authority issue. Or a mother who was overbearing, or a grandparents, or some bad experience in the past. So when they come to you in your church and they struggle with doubt, understand the pastoral care dimension by which you're coming to them. And there will be plenty of time for the books on the existence of God. There will be plenty of time to talk about, other things that help them in their faith. But when they come to you, Pastor, I struggle with doubt. Listen before you start, shooting all of the arguments for the existence of God. I have one more, just pastoral care practical discussion that you're going to have quite a bit. And the pastor, I'm addicted to alcohol, television, pornography, work, I'm addicted to material this. I'm addicted to painkillers. I'm addicted to drugs. You know, there could be chemical issues, medicating issues, accountability, support issues, spiritual issues, restitution issues. And these are all going to be the issues that are going to be related to someone who is addicted. In 2 Peter 2:19, one of the things that we're told in the Word is they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. When someone says, "Pastor, I'm addicted to," the first thing you want to do is listen. We're on the listening presentation here, is listen. And try to get in your mind, is this a chemical issue? Now, I'll give you some examples of a chemical issue. You know, nowadays with Ritalin being prescribed to kids and whatnot, is somebody could be given Ritalin at age 12. And then what happens, by the time they're 22 or 23, they have been sort of in that chemical path for so long that when they stop Ritalin, they have this addiction to medication. Sometimes that chemical medication would even translate into like marijuana addiction or alcohol addiction. And so there's almost like a chemical thing. So as you're listening, you're in your mind trying to find out, what am I dealing with here so that I can help them take the next step to get the appropriate treatment and help for them. You know, for some people, it's a medicating issue. I mean, they had a rotten childhood, they were sexually abused, they were physically abused, there's issues related that are, you know, they're suffering with a great bitterness, you know, they've struggled through the divorce of their parents. So now they have to deal with that. So what will happen is alcohol or their addiction makes them feel better. It sort of helps them escape for a little bit. So you want to know that too, because their next step in help will be related to how you can identify sort of that trail of addiction. You know, there might be, as you're listening, accountability and support issues. Like, you'll find that when that person is accountable, they do better. And how are they accountable? How are they not accountable? You want to listen for that, because to help them take their next step, you want to sort of hear what they need. There's spiritual issues. I mean, it could be where their relationship with God is of such that these addictions are open game for them, and you want to listen and find out where their walk with God is at this particular time. There might be restitution issues, such as they're addicted and they've harmed others. They've beat their spouse, or they've hurt their children, or they have broken relationships, or there's job issues. You know, all that is all part of listening. And as you're listening to them, you want to help them see that they are a slave to whatever has mastered them. And the only free person there is someone who is freed by Christ, someone who is in that walk with Christ. Now, is it going to be quick, easy answers here? No. We're talking about listening. In the first responder, as a pastor, you're often the first responder or a pastoral care responder. And yeah, you're not probably not having a 12-step program in your church. You're not doing all these things. But I will tell you, in that session that you have with them, if they come in and you listen, they are much more willing and wanting to hear you as you're suggesting what their next step is in treatment. And by listening, you know how to pray. By listening, you know how to encourage. You know how to bring that accountability in that structure, in that culture of accountability that someone who's addicted to something needs. So anyway, there you go. Two kind of case studies, things to think about and to pray about in your preparation to be a pastor.